We can't keep the lights down during the sermon because people have a tendency to fall asleep. So, thanks for bringing them back up. Excuse me. Hear the words of St. Paul as he speaks to the church in Corinth in his first letter. He says this: "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the example of St. Paul. As he was called by, as you called all of your disciples, to be salt and light into the world, he went to Corinth, we know, in his missionary journey, and he went first to the Jews and proclaimed to them the truth of you as the Messiah. And then he, as the Bible says, he wiped the dirt off his feet and off his clothes and went to the Gentiles. We know, Lord, that the synagogue ruler and his household were baptized. We know, Lord, that he did have an impact on the Jewish population, but Lord, we know that he did go to the Corinthians, and he shared the good news with them, and now he's remembering this and writing it in, as he writes his first letter, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's reminded of what really happened when he was salt and light in Corinth. And so, Lord, we thank you for his example, and we pray, Lord, that we will understand better and know the truth of what it means to share the good news, not with wisdom and wise words and eloquence, but with the demonstration of your Spirit's power. Lord, may we experience this. May we trust in it. And may we, yada, know the power of our God. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. St. Paul is an interesting apostle. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. He's what I've often envisioned of St. Paul is that he's very similar to St. Peter in some ways. Well, they got into kind of a spat over certain things. He thought that Peter was being kind of wimpy when he gave in to the Jews. If you remember, when he started to play favorites, he had to take him on. And I always thought of St. Paul as being kind of like, I don't know if this is a good idiom, I hope people understand this, but bull in a china shop. That's the way I kind of envision St. Paul, maybe because I have kind of a kinship with the guy. When I was in my chaplaincy training, I think I probably said this before, there were three lady chaplains and myself in training, and we were to pick a Bible character that we wanted to emulate. We wanted to be like. And I thought, well, you know, it's a no-brainer. I'm a Lutheran pastor. I want to be Barnabas, the son of encouragement. I mean, that's what I got into ministry for. I want to encourage, love on people, care for them. And after 3 weeks into the process, they turned around and all three of them said to me, "You cannot be Barnabas. You are a Paul." And I was quite offended, actually. It had me in tears. I was just like, I can't believe you say that, you know? And what they meant was that Paul isn't always a bull in a china shop. Other times, Paul admits that when he went to the Jews, he was that type of abrasive person, because in the Jewish synagogue, he shared the truth of the Old Testament with the Jews. He tried to show them that Jesus was the Messiah that fulfilled all the prophecies of the Old Testament, right? He was Messiah. And So as a Pharisee, he understood that it wasn't just the first five books, like the Sadducees believed only in the first five books. He believed in the whole Old Testament. And so he showed them and argued with them and tried to convince them of the reality that Jesus is the Messiah, the one who fulfilled prophecy. Didn't we hear that, what Jesus said? He said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law, every bit of it. And so it always surprised me, because I always thought of Paul as being this, you know, vibrant, boisterous, loud individual who went into the streets and basically said, turn or burn. Right? You never got that impression reading him? But it's interesting, because over and over again in his letters, as we read them, and sometimes I have to be reminded of this. You know, I read the Bible through in a year in my devotions, and sometimes I need to be reminded. Right now I'm in the Gospels, but pretty soon I'll be in his letters. I have to be reminded of the times when he does say that he did not act the way we think he acted. As a matter of fact, he says in the lesson today that when he came to the Jews, he did one thing, but when he came to the Corinthians, the majority of Corinthians that are now part of the church in Corinth, which is mostly a Gentile church, has Jewish people in it, but it's mostly a Gentile church, meaning non-Jews. And so he came to it says he came to them not with wise and eloquent speech, right? Isn't that what he says? And this is what was so interesting to me. When I read this again in preparation for this a few weeks ago, I just kind of chuckled to myself when I heard these words that he says, because again, it's a shift in my mind. I have to get my head around this. That he says, I came to you, what? With fear and great trembling. That's a posture of humility, folks. He came to them not proclaiming to have all the answers, but came to them in humility with great fear, with fear and great trembling. And he was outside of his element. You know, we see this all the time. He always goes to the synagogue first. When he gets kicked out of the synagogue, he goes to the marketplace and to the people outside, the ethos, the people outside of the Jewish nation. And it's outside of his element, but yet he has a passion for this. And what I think is so amazing is, in our training as Lutheran pastors, I don't know if you know this, if you've been in the Lutheran church, you probably do, we take a lot of training. Our church really honors the idea of education. I mean, we have Lutheran schools, Lutheran high schools, we have Concordias, we have the seminaries. We have a high respect for education, academics. For that reason, no Lutheran pastor will be pastoring without having a Master of Divinity. I was a little unique because I went to Bible school first and they wouldn't accept that degree, so I had to go back and get another one. So I have three. Most people have two. But we have to learn Hebrew and Greek. You know, the idea is that we will be able to eloquently and with great wisdom share with you, the mature, the wisdom that is from God revealed in Holy Scripture. And I think that's a very honorable and laudable desire on the part of the church to equip the pastor so that we can do that. But what frustrates me, and why I got stuck, now, you know, we have 16 verses in this lesson, but I have to be honest with you, I got stuck at verse 5. You ever had one of those moments when you're reading through Scripture and you get stuck? Some of you know what I'm talking about? Where it's just like the Holy Spirit says, stop! I understand what St. Paul felt like when he had a plan to go into Greece and he was told, you know, go to Macedonia. Remember that? It's like he says, stop! And then you get stuck there. And this is where I got stuck. I got stuck on this. He says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And yet, you know, I remember when I was going through difficulty in the church, I remember spending hours and hours and hours going through books and on the internet, trying to find illustrations, trying to be more eloquent in my speech, more philosophical. Because I thought if I could just be more academic, then maybe people would, you know, get more out of the message. And it's the wrong thing to do. And it wasn't until the Lord humbled me that I realized the most important thing for me to do in order to be a pastor who can really share with you the truth is for me to be in a strong relationship with my Lord. Be walking out the faith in my life. To be a husband and a father, hopefully good husband and father. I strive for that. And, you know, a good pastor. Not that I can figure out all this wisdom to share with you, but to live out the faith. To see the demonstration of the Spirit's power in the lives of His people. And I'll tell you something, that's harder and way more difficult than to come up with an eloquent and philosophical message. Do you believe me? I mean, I could type it out. I could read it to you. Or I could steal it like other guys do off the internet and read it to you. I can come up with eloquent stuff if you want. But I realize that what St. Paul is saying is so true. He didn't just come with words, with eloquent speech. Because how many of you know orators that are very eloquent in their speech, that can give a speech that will just, you know, get you really going, and then they don't do what they say? Are you impressed? Just love those speeches? You know, you're moved to just want to do whatever that person says. And yet you turn around and you go, let's look at this. He said this, he didn't do it. He said this, or she said this, they didn't do it. What happens after a while? Do you care about how eloquent they are? Do you? Brothers and sisters, the thing that got me stuck here is that one of the things that I love about being your pastor is that each and every week, not even a week goes by in this church where I don't hear someone share with me about a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Whether it's in the healing ministry, which I love because, of course, I've been healed, and I just have this just an amazing expectation that God's going to continue to do amazing healings among us. Whether it's in the, you know, those who are working on instruction, sharing in the ladies' Bible study or men's breakfast or different things. I mean, I get to hear testimonies from people sharing that it's not just the word. It's not the wisdom of this age, as St. Paul says, but it's the Spirit's power. It's the power of God alive and well in His church among His people. We met for a leadership huddle here this Friday and Saturday with Dr. Kent Hunter, who came, and one of his associates, and we met for what we call the philosophy of ministry dialogue, which is where you kind of say, what is unique about your church? And he gave us six questions that were all kind of the same question, but were trying to prod us to do things. And I have to tell you, I had a hard time sleeping on Friday. That's why I got this cold, because when I don't sleep, I get a cold. And it was because there was great unity. Even though we had, 27, 28 people there, the comments were... People from Tecumseh had the same comments as people from Ypsilanti. There was a unity there that gave me goosebumps. He made me write down all this stuff beforehand, and so I had to sit there and listen. You know how hard it is for a pastor to sit and listen? I did break the covenant a few times where I did speak a couple times, but I tried really hard. And I was sitting there praising God for the fact that He was able to work in a very diverse group of people, saying, this is who we are. And to me, that was a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Because we have so many backgrounds, so many streams within our church, and yet we came up with similar ideas of what are our priorities for us, what are our values, what do we believe, what do we teach, what do we confess, how do we live as God's people. And for that, I am so thankful. Because that's a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Why do I say that? Because look at what St. Paul says. He says, this is why I came to you and gave this message. It wasn't because I can't come up with good, you know, philosophical and wise dissertations. We know that he was a scholar, right? How many know that? St. Paul was a scholar. He was taught in one of the best schools of Phariseeism. He was brought up in a climate of high academics. So he could have, you know, he could have impressed them. He could have showed them his wisdom. But he came to them, and this is what he says, and this is what is so important. And this is, I hope if you take anything away from it today, you take this. So that your faith, your pistuo, that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Because if your faith rests on human wisdom, guess what? There's always going to be somebody smarter than you are. There's always going to be someone who can argue better than you can. But he makes it very clear that the reason he came to the Corinthians like he did was because he wanted them to understand right from the get-go that our faith is not based upon an argument or upon human wisdom. It's based upon Christ crucified, a stumbling block for the Jews and foolishness for the Gentiles. Brothers and sisters, may we pray vigilantly that our message as we go out and share our faith, as we live out our faith, that we would see and continue to see a demonstration of the Spirit's power working in the midst of his people. Don't you want to see the Spirit's power working at Cross and Resurrection? We have unity on this. That's why when we pray, we are united. Because we know that it's only going to be by the Spirit's power that we grow. It's only going to be by the Spirit's power that we're healed. It's only going to be by the Spirit's power that we can do what the Lord has called us to do in being salt and light to the world. You know why he picked salt? Because how many people could make themselves salt? Salt had value. It was valuable. But you couldn't just make yourself salt. You see, we can't make ourselves be the answer for people's salvation. The Lord wants to use us to reach people by sharing his light and his truth with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And I searched the web because I wanted to find something, and I prayed to the Lord, and I looked at a lot of things. I prayed to the Lord, show me something that will kind of impress upon people's hearts and minds the truth of what you're speaking in these words. And I got to a story that just really, again, I kind of stuck there. And it's a story about the hymn. The story about the hymn. What is it now? I'm sorry, I meant. I know what it, I could sing it for you, but what's the name? I'll Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. This hymn, we use this hymn. It's a great hymn of the faith. It's a great and remarkable message. But I wanted to give you the background to this hymn. Because when I saw the background to it, it was just unbelievable. I just stopped there and I thought, we all have to remember this. Because when you hear the story here, you'll understand why we can speak with all the eloquent words we want, but it's the power of Jesus and his Spirit working through us that can truly change lives. Let's watch the video. Can we? Now, some would argue maybe it was the instrument. But for a tribe that didn't understand the language, I believe that it was the Spirit's power. I don't know. I was touched by that because I thought, you know, we can come up with all the eloquent things that we want, but in the end, what changes hearts and lives is a demonstration of the Spirit's power. May he have freedom. The Spirit's a shy member of the Trinity, by the way. Never forces will upon anyone. But when he's invited, he wants to demonstrate his power so that our faith would not rest on human wisdom, but on God's amazing power. Amen. Let's stand as we continue.